I'd encourage you to come back next week because our pastor will be back in the pulpit here next Sunday morning. And I talked to him yesterday. He's actually in his brother's church this morning, way up north there in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. But so be praying for them as they travel back. But we're in for a great treat because we have Pastor Shannon, who has served our country and also now loves serving the Lord full time, going to preach for us this morning. So Pastor Shannon, come on up.
Amen. Well, yeah, you'll definitely want to come back and hear our senior pastor preach. Great speaker of the word, great teacher of the word. And for those of you who are guests, you'll definitely be blessed if you come back and listen to him speak. But at this point in time, I know the ushers are standing ready. You should have received a handout when you came in. If you didn't get a handout, our ushers have them. If you could just raise your hand and they'll make sure to get you a handout. We like the handout here at Crossroads because you can take the notes, you can fill in the blanks, and it gives you something to study by throughout the week. Plus, I've got some verse references in there that I'll be looking at. Everybody get a handout? Looks like we're good. Looks like we're good. So open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Right there at the end of chapter 15, verses 57 through 58. I hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July. I really like 4th of July. It's one of my favorite holidays that we have here, all the fireworks and everything, which is always a lot of fun because explosions and stuff like that. And as Pastor Rob said, I served 4 years in the Marine Corps, and two of those years I was in artillery, which involves a lot of explosions, and it was always kind of fun. And the fireworks always remind me whenever you went out in the field, and I was part of a Ford Observer team, and so we'd kind of be up, or when we back in base camp, you could hear the artillery rounds just kind of crackle in the air over your head as you were just laying back and snoozing or on watch or whatnot. It was always a really cool sound to me. I always loved that sound, just crackling through the, kind of creepy at first, you know, because you're like, oh, where's it going? But basically the way they always taught us is if you hear it, you're okay. It's the one you don't hear that's going to get you. And so, you know, you hear the crackle of the fireworks and the boom, so it just kind of, you know, makes me reminisce back to those days. But I love 4th of July because of the fireworks, though. The fireworks there really serve a purpose, right? They're, number one, to remind us of the freedom that we have in this country, this awesome freedom that we have. But it's to remind us that the freedom that we have didn't come free. Really, our independence, our freedom came at a price. Men and women gave their lives in service for this freedom. It took flesh and blood to secure our freedom. They had to fight a war so that July 4, 1776 wouldn't just dissipate. You see, that was the day we declared our independence from Britain, but we didn't get that independence until many years later. See, there was that whole war fought in between. But just as Pastor Rob had said earlier, we have a greater freedom, really, than the freedom here in our country. And that's a freedom that comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the freedom that I'm going to be talking about this morning with everyone here, is that freedom in Christ. And before we do, I want to take a moment and go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity here to just teach your word, and Lord, just spend this time here in fellowship, worshiping you with my brothers and sisters in Christ and others. And Lord, I pray that we will really see the blessing that we have here in our country and in being able to possess your word. Lord, you provide us a freedom that goes beyond anything down here in this world. And so, Lord, I pray that we will focus on that freedom here this morning and in the days to come. Lord, open our hearts, soften them to be ready to learn and grow from your truth. And Lord, use me mightily to just share your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with everyone here. We seek to give you the glory in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. They had to fight a war, and you know, sometimes this life in the flesh can seem like a war. It can seem like a battle that just after another, one after another, a constant battle. And because the reality is, it feels like a war because we really are in a war. Every single one of us is in the midst of a fight, of a battle, of a war. But it says in your handout, this war isn't a physical war, though. It's not a physical war I'm talking about, but a spiritual war. And listen, your spiritual growth hangs in the balance. Paul talked about it this way in Ephesians 6. I have it up on the PowerPoint. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." See, Paul says, our real battle isn't flesh and blood. He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." You see, it's a spiritual war. And your growth, your spiritual growth, hangs in the balance. And see, if you're knocked out of the fight, if you're discouraged, or you quit, or you're enticed by sin, or you're overwhelmed by physical ailments, or any number of struggles that you can face in this life, then listen, you're not going to be fulfilling your purpose to further that good news to others. See, just as you can have that great victory in Christ, the world learns about that great victory through us, through us. And if we're knocked out of the fight, that good news doesn't keep moving forward. In your handout, it says, if the gospel is stopped, then people won't learn about Christ. And if they don't learn about Jesus Christ, they won't trust in him. And if they don't trust in him, then they won't get saved from sin. Paul says in Romans 10, he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" That's speaking about Christ. He says, "And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." He says, how beautiful are the feet of those that go out and share that good news that God made in their life. See, as you rest in that comfort and that joy and that victory that Christ has given you, it should get you pumped up and excited to go and share that with others, right? It's like 4th of July, you go and you buy that like mega pack, right, of fireworks, right? It's got all the stuff, all rockets and all sorts of wonderful exploding things, right? Now, when you buy that pack, you don't go, "Now I'm just going to go in my backyard and I'm just going to by myself." No, you get like inviting neighbors over. And why? Because you want to show off all the explosions. Yeah, look at her, right? Come on, guys. I know. Guys out there, come on. Say amen there. Yeah, I know. I know that's how I was. I remember the first year we got the big old like mortars, you know, that launched out like the big professional ones. I mean, I was really excited. I was only a couple of years out of the Marine Corps, so I was, like, really pumped up. I was all in there, lighting them, you know? And we used to have a whole big neighborhood party, and that was the highlight for me, you know, because I wanted them all to, yeah, right? In fact, I got so eager one day, I lit the wrong end of the fuse, and it whizzed right past my face. That was a little wake-up call. I got to be a little more careful. Yeah, no, you want to share it with others. And listen, that's what your life in Christ should do. But listen, remember I said we're in a war. And we have an enemy that wants to keep you from doing that. He wants to keep you from fulfilling that role of sharing that glorious news of Christ, sharing that freedom
that God has given you. You see, we all have a role to play in saving the lost and growing the saved. And a key part of this is understanding the power of your freedom in Christ. Listen, you can stand faithful in your freedom in Christ. And so this morning, we're going to see three ways on how you can just stand faithful no matter what this world may send your way. So how can you do that? The first way is by accepting the victory you have been given in Christ. You need to accept the victory that you have been given in Christ. Life in the world is hard. I know it can beat you down pretty bad. I've been in some low periods in my life. I know what the world can throw at you. And listen, the consequences of your decisions can be overwhelming. And the temptations out there can be hard to resist. But in your handout, it says, one of the great truths about a life in Christ is that no matter the circumstances of life, no matter what this world may send you, no matter what kind of foolish decisions you may make, the great truth about a life in Christ is that no matter the circumstances of life, you have the victory. In Christ, you already have the victory. In Romans 8, Paul puts it this way. He says, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ, that loved us. See, he says you're more than conquerors. See, a conqueror is victorious in and of himself, right? That's why he's a conqueror. If he wasn't victorious, he'd be conquered. But he says, you're more than a conqueror. Take the mightiest conqueror in history, and he pales in comparison to the conqueror you are in Christ. You are more than conquerors through Christ. Up on the PowerPoint, he puts it this way, Romans 6. He says, but now being made what? Free from sin. See, in Christ, you are made free from sin. You never have to face the penalty for sin. You no longer have to worry about the power of sin. And one day you will be free from the presence of sin. You are free from sin and become servants to God. As a result, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, how awesome is this? Everlasting life. See, here's the victory. He says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. See, that's what sin brings. But you're now free from sin. You see, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, in Christ, you are now more than conquerors. You need to accept the victory that you've been given. In your handout, it says, the real victory in Christ, The real victory is the one over sin and death. He gave you the victory over sin, the penalty that was due, and the power it has, and eventually the presence, and that's that victory over death. You see, your true victory isn't over physical things. It's not the true victory. It's over spiritual things. So that regardless of your physical situation, you can be rest assured of victory. It doesn't matter if you're facing an ailment, a bad decision, just pressure at work, peer pressure at school, whatever that physical struggle may be, doesn't matter. Because through it all, you have that victory. You see, he gives you that peace and that love and that understanding and that wisdom. And that strength, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul says that in context of being mighty and being weak, having everything and having nothing. Doesn't matter, because through it all, he knew that he had the victory in Christ. And listen, you got to come to a point in your life where you simply accept that victory that he's given you. No matter what. No matter what this world may send, you simply say, I have the victory. Yeah, it may be rough down here right now, but I have that everlasting life that we set up here. That everlasting life from Romans 6 is just waiting for you. You see, this world can take your life, but it's only your physical life. Because Paul says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. You have the victory. In Christ, you are free, and that is a fact. And as a result, you can stand faithful in your freedom. You need to accept the victory you've been given. But then the second thing is by remaining focused on your victory in Christ. It's one thing to accept it. I got it. I understand. Through Christ, I have the victory. But it's amazing how you can start to veer away from that. The world kind of starts to creep in. Things start happening. And next thing you know, you lost your focus. You got to remain focused on your victory in Christ. Accepting your victory in Christ is important. But then you must remain focused on that victory. See, Paul basically states here, look over in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, but thanks be to God, right, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Basically, what he's saying here is that due to the victory you've been given in Christ, he says there's two results. You should be steadfast and unmovable. Because of that freedom you've been given, now be steadfast and unmovable. That word steadfast here in your handout means to sit or to be sedentary. In other words, it's the idea of being firmly grounded in a position. You got a spot, you're firmly grounded. And then unmovable means not to be moved from its place, to be firmly persistent, to be firmly persistent, to not be swayed from your course of action, to not be swayed. So I always think about, especially here, 4th of July, you got the Battle of Bunker Hill. Anybody know the Battle of Bunker Hill? That's where we get the famous saying, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes, right? In case you're wondering, that's very close. That's very close. Now, I'm not here to argue. A lot of historians say it wasn't really Bunker Hill they fought on. It was Breed's Hill. But you know what? Bunker Hill sounds cooler, right? So we're going to go with the traditional Bunker Hill. Now, if I got my history correct, they were outside the city of Boston, right? Boston was a major spot there in the day, and the British were holding it, and they had just mass amounts of troops that were coming into Boston. Folks, keep in mind, Britain was the powerhouse in the world at that day, right? America was just a bunch of colonists, all right? They weren't even all together. That didn't happen until years later. All the different colonies were separate little groups, but they all were separate little groups, agreed on one thing: we didn't like being taxed. So let's get the British out of here, right? So here they are. These aren't professional troops now. They're outside Boston. They're facing the mightiest army in the world, right? These are just ragtag little hunters and farmers with their muskets. You know, they didn't have the best muskets. But let me tell you what, they were smart enough that up on top of that hill overlooking Boston, see, they weren't kicking back. They weren't just like, hey, look, the British is down there. Whew. Some point in time, they're going to come. No, they dug in. See, they took time. British thought they were all cool, so they were just taking their time, getting off the boats. We're the mightiest army, woo, right? Making sure all their uniforms are all pretty and red. And the whole time, the colonials were just digging in. You see, they were being steadfast. They were locking into that position right there. See, it means to be firmly grounded in position. So that's what they did up on that hill. And then all of a sudden, the day came, here comes the British. And they're sending wave after wave after wave of troops. Remember back in that day, they all lined up all crazy-like, you know? And they just walked out in the open, you know? They all might as well had signs that said, shoot me, you know? Just painted targets right there, you know? And I mean, even it went all the way till the Civil War till they finally figured it out. Wait, this is deadly. The colonials, what were they doing? They were in fighting positions. They're like, we're digging in. We're going to get every advantage we got. And let me tell you, it literally was wave after wave after wave. And these ragtag group of colonials withstood the mightiest army in the world in its day. Why? Because they were unmovable. They were unmovable. They didn't leave that position until they said, now it's to our advantage. It's time to move on to the next tactic. And when the British were back licking their wounds, they slipped out in the quietness of night. And so when the British finally came, there was only a little ragtag group holding it, and they took off. You see, they stayed unmovable. It's that picture that you know, comes to mind with me when Paul is saying, listen, you are in Christ. That sin issue is dealt with. You will never face the penalty of that sin in Christ. You never have to struggle with the power of sin in your life. You have been given the victory. There is a day coming. You will be free from the presence of sin forevermore. As a result, don't let that stuff keep you from sharing Christ with others. Don't let that keep you from going out there and serving the Lord day after day. He says, let that keep you steadfast in your course, unmovable by whatever this world may come. You see, when that calamity comes in your life and that struggle and that temptation, you don't get overwhelmed by it. Oh, it may hurt and you may suffer, but you don't move away from Christ. And you realize that others need to see this victory as well. You see in your handout, it says, when Paul is saying, what he's saying here is that once you're set in your assurance in Christ, don't let anything move you or sway you away from your assurance. Don't let anything move you from that. There is no victory like the victory Jesus Christ gives each person that places their faith and trust in Him. This is why growing in His Word is so important. In your handout, it says, this is why growing in His Word is so important. Ephesians 4 talks about, Paul says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, into Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see, the whole point is to keep growing, to keep just growing in that relationship with Christ, knowing more about His Word, because as you grow in Christ, others will see that in you, because you can't help but demonstrate Christ to others. And as they see Christ in you, they're going to want the same victory. But there's so many things out there in the world that will try and smash down your faith. But remember, nothing can take away your victory. Stay focused on Christ. In your handout, it says, don't focus on the problems in life. Don't hone in on those. Don't just keep your thoughts right there. But take your thoughts and put them on your Savior, Jesus Christ. Up on the PowerPoint, Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, what's the next word? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's what we should be seeking after. He says, set your affection, set your love, set just your heart on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. See, Christ is our life. And that's where we need to stay focused. Stay focused on eternal things, and you'll see the victory of Christ lived out in your life. And the last point is, how can you remain faithful, steadfast? It's by faithfully serving the Lord. Accepting your freedom and remaining focused on Christ are very vital to standing faithful, but so is faithfully serving. You know, sometimes we think this victorious Christian life is just about our needs. What can Christ do for me? But the reality is that it's more about what can Christ do through me for others. See, in your handout it says your life in Christ is more than just how Jesus Christ will change your life, but also how he can use your life to help change others. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, one of my favorite passages. It's the whole reason why I started the Freedom Found Ministry, to help others overcome addictions through a relationship with Christ. It's because he did the same thing for me. And it was this passage right here that motivated me to then go out and start this ministry. We meet every Monday night at 6:30 over in our life building. And it doesn't matter what your struggle is, drugs, alcohol, shopping. I'm serious. Lack of faith, a lack of understanding God's word. All those are strongholds. All those will keep you from understanding the victory in Christ. And listen, folks, I was there. I had a whole pile of them. But then Christ changed my life, and I found this verse here. 2 Corinthians 1 says, listen up. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. God's a God of mercy. And he's the God of all comfort, it says here, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. See, if you want true comfort in your life, it's got to come from God. See, worldly comfort will only last you so long. But God is the source of all comfort, who will comfort you in all your tribulation. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, God's comfort isn't meant to just be held inside. It's to then share with others. See, God comforted me in my struggles, and now I wanted others to see the same thing, because it's exciting. It's empowering. It's enough to get you pumped up and go, I was lost, but now in Christ I'm saved. And I want you to experience that. I want you to know that. I want you to rest in that. Galatians 6, 1 through 2 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear each other's burden. God's comfort, mercy, and grace are meant to change your life so that you will in turn help others to see and understand God's comfort, mercy, and grace through Christ. When you allow worldly struggles to dominate your thinking, you're missing out on the greatest purpose and the greatest blessing in your life. And that's seeing others come to victory in Jesus Christ. Listen, as you grow in Christ, you should desire to help others grow in Christ as well. It should just be overflowing. And that's what he says here. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, the best way for you to affect the lives of others is by abounding in the work of the Lord. It's in your handout. By abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding means to just overflow, to be in excess. You see, when you serve, you're putting into practice your life in Christ. You're becoming a living testimony of God's grace to others. And listen, as you grow in Christ and you focus in on him, it becomes just a natural outpouring. You just are filled with this desire to share Christ with others. Up on the PowerPoint, Galatians 6 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Paul says, don't quit. Don't quit.
Just because you're serving Christ doesn't mean it comes easy. There are times, you know, you may want to pull your hair out. Those of you, if you don't have hair, you may want to bang your head against the wall, right? I know how frustrating it can be. But Paul says, don't quit. Don't be weary in well-doing. If you're truly serving Christ and just giving him your all, he says, don't worry, he sees, he knows. Just keep serving. Hebrews 6 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. There is no work or labor that is more greater than that which you do to glorify God. Serve the Lord in all areas of your life, and you'll stand faithful in your freedom. Listen, life is hard, but life down here is temporary. In Christ, you've got a victory over sin and death, and as a result, you can overcome the curse, the temptation of sin and death. Look back up to verse 51. See some of this whole context here. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. He says, not all of us will die, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But then we get to our passage. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There is a day coming when our physical lives here will end. And you'll have that great, wonderful victory. Listen, don't let the things of this world keep you from resting and just standing firm and faithful in your freedom in Christ. You can stand faithful in your freedom in Christ by accepting the victory you've been given, remaining focused on your victory in Christ, and by faithfully serving the Lord. And listen, this all comes by first placing your faith and trust in Christ. You see, if you haven't placed your faith and trust in Christ, you don't have that victory yet. That theme all throughout this message was that victory is in Christ. And here in a moment, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I encourage you, take the time this morning and settle that issue right there. If you haven't trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, haven't acknowledged that you sinned against God, and it's only through Christ that that sin debt can be paid, you need to do that now, because if you haven't, you don't have this victory. But then, believer, if you have, you trusted in Christ, stand firm. Stand firm in your freedom. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you right now again for this opportunity.